start today with, as you heard, a short presentation on this place. Now, you've been here for a few days. I'm sure you have made your own thoughts. Perhaps you thought about the art pieces of art that you've seen around and were wondering what these are about. So I'm going to give you a short presentation with pictures so that you also have a better idea about what I will be talking. All right? Now, let's start with the name of this place. It's called the Orthodox Academy of Crete. Now, Crete is easy. We are on Crete. But what does the Orthodox and the Academy have to do with this conference center, as you've seen? Now, Academy, let's start with that, has to do with philosophers of Greek antiquity, like Plato or Aristotle. And they had their academies. Now, the Academy in Greek antiquity, Plato's Academy, used to be a place where people would gather in order to philosophize together. This is what symphilosophin means. So it was a place for people to come, to talk, to discuss, and perhaps to have new ideas. This, the way of working, which means the communication, the dialogue, the discussion, all of these things were important at that time. Now you have to know that, of course, we're talking about Greek antiquity, and now we're in the 21st century. What does that have to do with it? After the end of the Second World War, there were people in Germany who thought that there must be a place where peace work would be possible. And now how should that be accomplished? And they thought of Greek antiquity, and they remembered Greek philosophers, and they said, well, they had found a way. If we get to know the other better, if we know how the other thinks, what people think, how they react, why they would react in a certain way, then we would be able to understand each other better and, as a consequence, could perhaps avoid clashes of a minor or major kind. And a war is a major clash. So we should enter into a dialogue, they thought. And that was the first step. The second thought of those people leads us to the word Orthodox. They thought that this peace work should not be done by the state alone or the church alone, but in cooperation of these two. So they wanted this place to be a place in between, or better we should say, a place combining both. Thoughts, people, and whatever needs were there. So the first academy, that modern sense, came into existence after the end of the Second World War, as I said, and it was the Evangelical Academy of Bad Boll near Stuttgart in Germany. They had their, they were close to the Evangelical Church, that is predominant in Germany, and many, many other academies in that sense followed. Protestant academies, Evangelical academies, that means Catholic academies and Orthodox academies. So that shows you that we have a cooperation with the local church without being a church institution as such. And whatever we do has also to do with the philosophical thought and the philosophical approach, but also, if you want, we could say it is a dialogue between church and modern man. What does that mean? All right? So that was the basis for the modern academies in that sense. Now, let's see how this academy here began. The idea was elaborated during these years, 58 to 64. And here are the two founders of this place, former Metropolitan Irenaeus, who passed away last year in the age of 103 years old. And he was one of the, how should I say, the hierarchs, the bishops. He was very close to the people. And this led people to call him the grandfather. So that was a title of honor, of course, yeah. So Metropolitan Irenaeus and Dr. Alexandros Papadaros, who was also a poet, who is a theologian, and was the general director for 40 years. At that time, the ecumenical patriarch was Athenagoras, or Athenagoras. Now you must know that the Church of Crete does not belong to the Church of Greece. but to the ecumenical patriarchate, who the patriarch's see is in Constantinople or Istanbul, which you, how you would call it. That way, out of historical reasons, we have no time to deal with now. If someone of you should be interested, we can of course talk about that. But for you to know that the see of Constantinople has to do with Crete, all right? And Patriarch Athenagoras, the ecumenical patriarch, means that he is responsible for the coordination of all the Orthodox churches around the globe. So he was a man of foresight, he was a man of vision, and he was a man who really liked to have dialogue with other Christian churches, but also with others. And so the climate for having something like this was really the best one. Dr. Bavaleros had done postgraduate studies in Germany, and this is where he had learned about the academies there. And it was in fact the Evangelical Church of Germany who gave the money for the building of, for the construction of the first building. Yeah, that is over there. And Metropolitan Irenaeus, who was the local metropolitan, the local bishop, convinced the monastery that is just next to us to have this academy in its neighborhood, which is not a very simple thing. So this is how this place looks like in winter. And that was the academy in 68, when it was inaugurated. Later on, the Chapel of Saints Kyrillos and Methodios was added. That is situated just underneath the meeting room in the other building. And another chapel was added later on, even above there on the hill. When you walk up, you can see it. And it's dedicated to one of the church fathers, and I want to tell you a few things about him a bit later on, Saint Makarios, the Egyptian. And this is what the chapel looks like from the inside. It used to be a cave that we turned into a chapel. Of course, we need to have a library, and we have such. We have about 18,000 books in our library, all sorts of issues, of course, and this is the central library that is called Tofos, the Light. And if you've heard about Robert Fulton, I don't know, the author, an American writer, he came here at some point during the 80s and was so impressed that he decided to become a writer, yeah, because he had learned a lot of things for himself. And then later on, when he saw great success with his books, he decided to donate quite a large sum of money to the academy, and what we did is build this library. This second building, where we are at the moment, was added in 1995. We needed a new meeting room, we needed more rooms for people to stay, and this was constructed with the support of the Greek state. This was an Interreg program, as it is called, where the European Union and these respective states need to contribute part. Now, this, what you see here, is also one of the basic issues. We are not a hotel, we are not a conference center in the sort of a business center, but the academy is a foundation, and it's a foundation for the common good. So this means that we do what we believe in, without making, or without the aim of making as much profit as we can. So this means that the operation of the academies is based on the contributions of the conference participants. So thank you to you also. So this means that we can go on with our work and our ideas, of course. Yeah, that I already told you. The main mission, you could say, is the dialogue between church and one another. And the practical way of doing this is to organize or host conferences and seminars. We also develop several programs, and that is what I meant when I said that we can continue our work and our ideas also. And all the conferences receive a number. And when I say conference, I really mean things that have a duration of at least 3 days. Yeah? 3, 4, 5 days, 10 days sometimes. So it's not included whatever we can have here talks or festivities that last 1 day. And the number that we have compiled from 68 on, this is when the Academy really started working as a center like this. We have organized or hosted more than 2,050 conferences. And you can see that the majority is on the international and ecumenical level. All right, now, what are the main areas that we work in? This has to do with the history. 50 years ago, nearly 50 years ago, life on Crete was quite different, as it was quite different all around Europe and everywhere in the world. So the relation between the clergy and the laity was not as it is today. The continuing adults' education is something that was very important at that point, and it still is, of course. And also the issues of women in church and society are quite different at that point and are quite different today. So a lot of work has been done in this respect. And then, of course, development generally, the quality of life that had to be developed. Crete is a very mountainous region. It is very difficult to have income in agriculture, and that was the main source of income for many, many years. So the social justice was an important issue, as this part of Crete was the poorest one. So also Metropolitan Ireneus and the Academy and many other institutions tried to make things better for the people here. Today, the combination of these three big issues is our main interest. The combination of science and faith and life. What does science mean for our daily life? The outcome of research. And these are the issues that we've been dealing with for many years. In cooperation with universities in Greece and abroad and other research centers. And I would like to show you this fresco because it really shows very nicely what researchers should have in mind when working. So a fresco of a Cretan icon painter at Meteora monasteries. This is Adam, and the animals are waiting patiently for him to give them their names. Now, what does that mean, to give a name to somebody or to a thing? You have to understand its essence. Isn't that so? The researchers or you, when you find out something, you want to name it so that it really expresses what you found out and what it is, what it does. When you get a pet, you want to give it a name. Or, of course, when you have a child, you want to give it him or her a name. So that means that you assume responsibility. And this is really important. Here you have the father of genetics, as he's called, or as he was. Here we had Stephen Hawking at a conference. And these are some members of this. These are molecular biologists. By the way, this is in this room here. That can also look like this. And the foyer, yeah. And of course, as we also have a relation to the church, we also cooperate with the very official bodies of the church. This is the World Council of Churches, the Central Committee in 2012, for example. There are also a lot of others. And we have a program that is called Living Orthodoxy, where non-Orthodox can get more information about the Orthodox Church, about the history of Crete, about sociological issues on Crete, and so on. So we are cooperating with the theological faculties and all sorts of people. Pastors or bishops or just parishes. Yeah. And we do not want to cooperate only with the other Christian confessions, but also with other religions. We are an island in the Mediterranean, and the Mediterranean region, of course, has these three big monotheistic religions where so much trouble arises because everyone thinks they are right and nobody else. So we have a dialogue with the Islam and also with Judaism. Here, for example, the Arab European dialogue in 2010. All of what I'm showing you is just a very, very little part of it. Of course, the new multi-religious and multicultural realities play a major role also on Crete, not only all around Europe. And so we had, for example, in 1994, the annual meeting of PAGWASH. This is a peace movement that had its origin in PAGWASH, a village in Canada, where scientists, among them also Einstein, met in order to discuss how the world should look like or could look like without nuclear weapons. And this is what they do. They want to work against the use of nuclear weapons and wars. And 1 year after 9/11, we had invited the human rights defenders here. They had to face major problems in their work after that assault. So people didn't want to hear anything about human rights anymore. So they were here, members of the UN and so on, talking about their issues. And now, a few minutes only, 2 minutes, I want to tell you about this project. This has to do with the art that you can see all around the place, and it has to do with dialogue. As I said before, this deals with one of the church fathers. Now, the church fathers, for those who do not know, are the saints or the wise men of the church of the first 1,000 years of Christianity, which means that this is true for all the Christian churches. Yeah? It's the same saints for all of them. And one of the church fathers was called Makarios the Egyptian. He lived in the 4th century, and he lived in the desert of Egypt. He was one of the desert fathers, and he lived as a hermit. But he was known as a very wise man, also at his time, and this was the reason why people went to see him there and get advice on different issues. And one of the texts that we still have says the following. He says, one day he was walking through the desert, and suddenly he found a skull lying in the sand. Being quite surprised about this encounter, he asked the skull, "Who are you?" And the skull answered, saying, "Well, I used to be a priest of the pagans, and I'm now in hell. But each time you pray for us, we feel great relief." Now, Saint Makarios, of course, wants to know what hell is all about, what it is like there. And the skull tells him that everything that people believe hell to be was true. That they were surrounded by flames, it was an awful place, whatever. But he says, the worst thing of all, we don't know. The worst thing is that we are tied back to back and cannot see each other's face. But every time you pray for us, these ropes loosen and we can turn around and see each other again face to face. And this is the relief that we feel. Now, of course, as a churchman, he wanted to stress the importance of prayer, I mean Saint Makarios. But the other thing is very important for us today, that he said that also the living should do something. They should turn one to each other and enter into dialogue. And we asked artists to express and interpret this text. And whatever you can see around here is the result, part of the result, paintings and texts and whatever. So the dialogue, the communication is the important thing here in our place. So now you know what these paintings and sculptures are about. Of course, we have also an iconography workshop, we have iconography courses. And one of the issues that we've been dealing with lately very much has to do with the ecological issues in general, but also with these that you can see here, ecological justice, the biodiversity, and of course how the Cretan botany is used in the Cretan cuisine. So we've had quite a number of international conferences. This is in the front, Planta Europa, President Jan Willem Snip. Planta Europa is an institution, you could say, where more than 35 countries are members of, caring for nature. And we also try, of course, to have the school children of this area involved. So there are quite a lot of teachers who try to give their school children, their pupils, the chance of doing so. So we had a class of children here. Each of the children had taken one plant, had studied the plant, and then they presented a sort of theatrical play here in the front. And only the smell that you can imagine we had here in this room was beautiful. And of course, it was a very, very nice experience for the children to be here present at an international conference. Yeah. So, a cheesery. We are in cooperation with a gastronomy university in Italy. So they come and visit different places, bakeries, cheeseries, wineries, whatever. And then, of course, they learn how to cook Cretan food. And this leads me to the last part of what I wanted to show you. We have two departments. One is on-site, and the other is a little bit further away. Let's start with the one further away. That's the Euro-Mediterranean Youth Center, talking about children and youth. We have young people coming here who, during the morning hours, study. These are students of landscape gardening and landscape architecture. And after their lessons, they also work. And we've had young people from more than 40 countries stay there and work there. Here they are built a mosaic around the stage of this beautiful theater, an amphitheater, open air theater that is used during the summer months, of course, has enough space for about 600 people. Yeah, so we have musical stages, we have theatrical plays. And we had, for the children again, a program of traditional agriculture, but still we have also our own wine, and this is a traditional way of producing wine. Great, I tell you. Here you see some of my colleagues resting after harvesting the olives, and of course giving thanks at the chapel that is up there. And this is also the president of the academies. He's the president of the board, the local bishop, after Metropolitan Irenaeus, Metropolitan Amphilochios. And this chapel is dedicated to on the 6th of August. If you remember, or if you perhaps know, the 6th of August was also the day where the bomb of Hiroshima. Now, this is the day where the church celebrates the transfiguration of Christ. Now you have the light giving and the light taking life, yeah? So we wanted to think about this and stress the importance of giving life. And also this is, of course, an issue of peace. So it's important for the youth center to have such thoughts also for the young people. And the Institute of Theology and Ecology, this is the last thing I want to tell you, and the Herbarium are situated here on site. This institute was inaugurated in order to advance the interlinking between theology and ecology, so that we have the protection of the environment also on a different level. And the Ecumenical Patriarch, Bartholomeos, is also called the Green Patriarch. I don't know if you've heard about that, because he worked so much in that field. And in 2008, We inaugurated a very, very important museum of Cretan plants. More than 8,000 specimens are there. They were all collected by a French botanist, Professor Zafran. He was a professor of botany at Marseille University, and this was his passion, to work on Crete and collect plant Crete and study them. And he brought his whole collection back to Crete when he retired. And so we have this museum here now. We have botanists come here, study the plants, of which quite a number are already extinct out of different reasons. So it's really important that we have them here. And of course, we have a lot of school children visit us and work on that. So to involve also the young people, the very young, and also the students, is one of the important issues here. And this is why also Dr. Zorbach talked about the computer programming and children in this combination. We have a botanical garden so that they can also plant. Yeah. So what we all should do is celebrate work and also life. And I think you are doing that in the best way. Okay, so thanks a lot for your attention. And I hope that now you know what this place is all about and what we do if you are not here. Where we have other scientists here or young people. So thank you very, very much, and good continuation today.